Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your comic book and pop culture podcast coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto. I'm your host, Eric Anthony.
I'm Lady J.
Daff J in the house. How's it going?
It's
Daff
still snowing.
Still snowing.
Yeah.
You always have that should be your thing. At the beginning of every episode, we will do traffic and weather. Like a real newscast, because every time we get on the show, you like to tell me what the weather's going to be like or what it's like.
Well, I wonder what the weather's going to
be for
the
tomorrow.
The thing is, it's the middle. It's springtime.
It's
officially
spring. We're like in the middle of April, pretty much. And there's a skiff of snow outside, and I'm sick of this.
It's a skiff.
What is a skiff? I've heard someone say it once, and I just used it.
I don't know. It just sounds like...
brushing.
It sounds like a streaking underwear, actually.
Okay, moving on from dirty laundry. Daff J, what is new and exciting in your world? Talk to us, please.
I've been watching movies.
Okay.
And I'm reading a book.
I love it. Consuming all types of different forms of entertainment and information. What movies have you been watching?
I saw The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay, yeah, we saw it together. How did you enjoy it?
I did.
Did you?
I liked it a lot.
What were your favorite parts?
I liked the fashion.
Yes.
Of the main characters.
Yes.
I thought the comical cues were just on point.
Subtle.
Very subtle, but it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very like James Bond meets someone.
Ocean's 11.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. I said that before.
You did. You told me that. I didn't make that up. I'm not clever, as Daff J is. You know what I liked? I liked the music.
Music was really good.
The music. Did you, when you were listening to it, you were almost dozing off just a little bit, and then you heard some music start to play.
No, your leg was in my rib. That's what was happening the whole time. And I was like, this is not comfortable for me. But then, one of the little jigs in the movie, that's the intro to our theme.
Now we're going to get sued for copyright infringement. For the record, yes, the theme to our current theme for the Cave of Solitude are portions of Man from U.N.C.L.E. from the soundtrack, I would take it. And it was created by a local producer. His name is actually unknown. I'm not saying he's unknown. I mean, that's the name he goes by. His moniker is unknown. He was in a hip-hop duo back in the 2000s or late 90s. And he graciously produced a track that we could use for our intro. So shout out to Unknown. If anybody wants to have, they like the beat and they want to connect with a producer who's actually really talented.
You'll never find him.
you can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com and I will give you the goods on Unknown. That's a pretty good plug. Plug. That's the word. It wasn't coming to my head. A perfect plug for Unknown. Who is this mysterious masked man, if you will? So, shout out to Unknown. Thank you for the U.N.C.L.E. intro that we have. Continue talking about the film. Is there anything else you wanted to add to what you liked about it?
Thinking back on some things in the movie, I'm a little bit confused, but it was a fun movie overall.
You'd watch it again?
Oh, yeah. I'd watch it again to try to figure out what happened. But... not with the story, it was just certain relationships I was kind of like puzzled.
Okay.
And how some conclusions to certain things were a little bit uncertain to me.
Do you regret not having seen it in theaters? Because that was one where we were kind of like, nah, maybe, but I'm not in the mood to go to the movie enough.
I remember seeing it for the first time as a trailer in the theater, and I'm like, wow, I want to see that. And then I thought we heard that it didn't get the boost, like it wasn't really.
You got like a mediocre response.
Yeah. So it wasn't at that point based on the reviews, I wasn't pushed to go see it right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked it.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised as well. I wanted to see it when it was in the theater, but I wasn't motivated enough to go watch it, and then I heard some really good things about it through other podcasts and reviews that I listen to and read, saying that it was actually one of the better action espionage esque movies of 2015. A lot of people put it above even Spectre. Was that the James Bond movie?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Did you like it better than Spectre?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like Spectre that much, to be honest. It was not my cup of tea. But this one I found was fun. It was funny. Like, I was actually laughing out loud. You did
laugh out loud a couple times.
Yeah, it was very clever.
Halfway through, once you heard the different music and combination of scenes, you just popped up like, I like this movie. So that's how I knew you were sold on it completely.
So one of the characters in the movie was played by Superman.
Yeah.
Not him. What's his real name? Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he's wearing his attire of, you know, suit with briefcase, he looked like Clark Kent. I just wanted to say that.
He looked like he could be a good Clark Kent, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in a suit, maybe like if he had like a pair of glasses and a newspaper under his arm or something. But it looked
like the Clark Kent from like back in the day.
Right.
Because this movie, I guess, it was taking place in like the Hitler days. Right?
I think it was post-World War II, but it was directly, like the events of that affected what was happening in this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it wasn't like modern day.
No, it was the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminded me of like that old time classic Clark Kent. And I'm like, wow, he could really like obviously we know he's Superman, but I'm like,
not so much Clark Kent. He doesn't do much Clark Kent in the Superman movies, but now that you mentioned that, I was actually thinking if it would work for them to make a period piece DC universe. Would that interest you if you saw like a 1960s version of Superman where everyone kind of looked that style of well-dressed with the hats and people still read newspapers in order to capture like, remember like those Fleischer cartoons that we watched when we were young and it was like the old style Superman?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Imagine if they made a movie kind of that looked like that. I think it would work.
I think it would be interesting. I find that perhaps the story that can be told by Superman, his powers and his abilities would be able to be more explained and better told in the future rather than going backwards.
Okay, so you're like, the special effects that would have to be used in the movie would look better in a modern world. Like, it'd make more sense seeing it like that. Okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they can't crack the code anymore with a character like that. To put him in a modern world, they've got to make him so, seems like they got to make him so complicated and dark, whereas if you put him in a, you know, in the 1960s where people were still kind of like, I don't know, a little bit more naive and living in a somewhat of a simpler world or wasn't quite as complicated, you can tell a more fun Superman story.
My question is then, because I know that they're going in this direction with Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
but Wonder Woman is kind of like ancient. Yeah, she's ageless, right?
Yeah.
Isn't Superman kind of like that? But then there's stories of him where he has like the salt and pepper hair and he's aging a little bit.
Right.
So does he have the ability then to not age and then therefore they could tell that type of story?
They could, but I at the same time, to make him a part of like a contemporary world with like a Batman that lives in the 2000s and a Justice League, it wouldn't work, I don't think, as well with what they want to do. I'm just saying that visually, it would, I think it's probably the last time or era where something like that, I don't know, it's like when you watch 1978 Superman, it's like pitch perfect, other than the cheesy powers that he has at times, the look and the feel of it, it's material, the source material is taken seriously enough to make it a good story, but not seriously enough where you're feeling kind of depressed once you're done watching it. Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like even the Fantastic Four, it would almost be cool for them to say like, this was the superhero team before there were all of these Avengers and stuff. These guys existed maybe in the 60s and, you know, they were in Manhattan and this was like an original superhero team that they kind of tell with that whiz bang kind of fun way of doing it.
I think it's a possibility. I just think it has to be done with the right character. I don't think every character has that ability. Like,
true.
I don't think you could do that with a Black Widow.
No.
Right? But, you know, they've done that with the X-Men where they've told their story, their origins.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. With Superman, it could work if there's a good story behind it, but like I said, I feel like today's technology, there are certain things where you want, you know, the abilities of certain heroes, yeah, and you want to see that come into like fruition. You want to see them in their glory. And if it's being taken place way back in the day, to make it as realistic as possible.
It's out of place.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Fair enough. Just when I was watching Henry Cavill in the 60s, looking like Clark Kent, it kind of just kind of, not jogged my memory, but just kind of gave me an idea of, like, right, that would kind of be cool, mm-hmm, if they did it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to happen. They're moving on. They made lots of money. They've officially passed Deadpool now. And they are...
They did?
Yeah. They're expected to now... They've, I think, surpassed Man of Steel as well. So they need to make, I think, about $1.15 billion in order for them to turn the profit they want. They might not get make to that it? Point. But they made enough money to feel that they did well enough, I guess. Moving on to some news. I'll stop talking about that movie. What do you... any news you want to share with us? That you got?
Well, I know that DC is, I guess, revamping their characters. Yes?
Yeah.
Is that my understanding?
Yeah, I think they're kind of... They're insisting that it's not a reboot. Or, like, they're not restarting their universe again. They're calling it...
Rebirth.
Yeah.
But that's... Come on. Like, it's... like, let's call a... what's that phrase?
A spade a spade?
Yeah.
You watched the WonderCon footage with me,
mm-hmm,
right? Did you find it extremely boring and hard to
sit
through?
No, I thought it was interesting. I liked it. There are certain storylines that I would be interested in looking into.
Do you kind of get what the event, the whole Rebirth event, what the purpose of it is supposed to accomplish at this point? Did you?
My understanding is that they messed up with New 52 and they're trying to clean it up.
Pretty much. They're not erasing all of that to say, like, forget everything you read, it never happened. They're not doing that to this time around.
Yeah, but they're recognizing where they went wrong.
Right.
For example, and I didn't know this because I personally don't read Nightwing,
mm-hmm,
but apparently they announced that he's black and blue again. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, when was he not black and blue? I don't read about him, but I know he's black and blue.
Right.
And apparently in the New 52, they made him red and black.
Right.
And...
There's a costume change can make that much of a difference
it
for some people, right?
It can't. And then the audience, like exploded with this roar of...
Isn't that weird?
...cheer and, I guess, not acceptance, but... anyway, that made them happy. So I'm thinking, like, what? They're just cleaning up their mess. They can call it whatever they want, but mm-hmm, that's what it sounded like to me.
And no, you're right, because I think even Dan DiDio, during that press conference or that panel at WonderCon, had said, you know, we're happy with some of the things that we've done, because they have done some cool stuff. The Batman books that you enjoyed from Scott Snyder, Court of Owls and Death of the Family that you read. They did a good run on Wonder Woman. There's a lot of good things that happened with New 52 that I enjoyed. But then, like, you read Aquaman. You like the Aquaman series?
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
Jeff
I
Johns.
Mm-hmm.
So there were certain things that they added to
that
the universe.
That was the trench and all that.
Yes,
that I read, right?
That's right. Our very first episode, we talked about that. But there was a lot of stuff that they just lost themselves with. And they kind of lost a lot of the things that made the DC universe interesting with their legacy of characters. It kind of lost a little bit of its identity. And so now they're trying to... Dan DiDio basically said, we know where we went wrong in some areas and we want to show you that we're committed to giving you a good product.
And we're listening to our readers.
That's it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what he said. Good, yeah. good memory. So it's a couple of weeks ago that this was announced and we watched the feed for it. But what were there any books that actually piqued your attention? Because you're not going to be going to the comic book shop on Wednesdays like I do to be like, I need to get these books. But were there any creative teams or books that were like, that sounds cool, I want to get a little bit of that?
Well, I know that they're doing, I guess, a new origin from my understanding about Wonder Woman, right? And it's going to be Greg Rucka who's going to be writing her.
Yeah, that was one of my most, like, the one announcement that I got really excited for myself.
And I think, too, because of the movie and her portrayal in the movie, it's, I'm intrigued to know what they're going to come up with. And the artist is, Shard Art? No, Liam Shard. Liam, I don't know what we call him, but he's going to be doing the art in it.
Okay.
I don't know what he's done to know what type of art it is.
Me neither, actually.
So, I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, that was the one that got me pretty excited as well, because I have a new, my interest in Wonder Woman has peaked a little bit more since the movie. That was one of my favorite portions of it, seeing her in action. And I've been reading some Wonder Woman from the New 52. I've read almost all of the Brian Azzarello Wonder Woman, which was really good. And then some of the stuff from the 80s from George Perez. So my...
Oh, he's the guy that just draws everything on one page, right?
Yeah, he's one of the most celebrated artists from that decade. Uh-huh. And he really put his stamp on the Wonder... Like, the movie, the animated movie you saw of Wonder Woman from DCU, it was basically pulling from his story that he started when he got on the book back in 1987. That type of Wonder Woman, that was what George Perez was doing. But Greg Rucka had written Wonder Woman previously for DC about 9 or 10 years ago. And when they did an event, it was called Infinite Crisis, he was in the middle of telling his story. And when after that event occurred, they're like, okay, by the way, so-and-so is going to be taking over Wonder Woman. And he's like, but I still got my story to tell. Like, you've kind of left me hanging here. So I think he's coming back now and getting a chance to tell some of the stories that he never got a chance to continue. And he kind of left DC on bad terms back then, so him coming back...
is a big deal.
Is a big deal, because he is one of the most, and I say this often, but currently today, within the comic book world, he's one of, like, the top three writers that are... He's not even writing superhero books, but his creator-owned stuff is very well-received and celebrated. So to get him on a DC book, Wonder Woman, which is what he was known for, is going to get a lot of attention. He's going to do, I don't think it's a new origin, but they're going to be telling Wonder Woman year one.
Yes, you're right, year one. Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I'm a little bit concerned about with DC Rebirth is that they're going to be shipping 2 books a month instead of 1 book a month. Now, the price of each book has gone down to $2.99, which is a breath of fresh air for a lot of collectors. But because they're going to be doing 2 times a month, he's going to have in the odd numbers, it's going to be Liam Sharp? I'm not sure. Liam Sharp is going to be doing the odd numbers. So number 1, number 3, number 5. That'll be like a current timeline. And then in the even numbers, there's another artist, Nicola Scott, and they're going to be doing year 1 in those issues. So it sounds like it's going to be confusing. But he says that elements from the year 1 storyline, this is an interview that I heard with him, it's going to affect, or you'll understand what's happening in the regular timeline. Are you following? Are you lost?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to wait and see when we read it then, and it'll make sense. But because all of these books are going to be shipping twice a month, I think they have 2... artists of similar style that are going to be helping out with the art duties, because that takes longer. So that way they're
not burning out one guy at this telling. Okay, right. I understand.
And to keep the books coming out on schedule.
Right.
Because one artist would probably kill himself trying to accomplish
keep
that.
Keep up with the schedule. Yeah.
So I think in that case, that's an interesting pick, because you're going to be getting a lot of story from Wonder Woman without feeling like, oh, I'm already behind on I missed that issue, I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're going to get 2 different Wonder Woman stories from the same title, same writer.
Mm-hmm.
And they will, what's the word? Mix in. Like, what he sets up in the year 1 will be understood later as you read the...
It'll blend in.
It'll blend in, that's the word. Yes, I'll stop talking about Wonder Woman and confusing the world. What other stuff did you find interesting?
I don't read it often, but I am interested in knowing about what they're going to do with the Justice League. The writer is going to be a gentleman called Brian Hitch.
A gentleman. You're right. He's from England.
And the artists, there's two. So I guess I'm assuming it's the same concept that you're doing with the Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Right? So there's a Tony Daniel and then a Fernando Pizarin.
Yes.
So is that my understanding then? They're going to do the same thing with the Justice League?
I don't think they're going to be doing like a year one.
No, but the fact that yes. they're releasing that many
twice a month. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And Brian Hitch actually is a very well-renowned artist himself. He's currently doing a miniseries called JLA, and he's writing and drawing it. And his style is very...
That's so tedious. I'm coloring a book.
Yeah.
I'm doing a coloring book.
His book, they have a Age of Ultron that he co-drew. And if you think the Hush that you're drawing right now is, like, super detailed and tedious, his stuff, he's got, like, shrapnel of buildings all collapsing. And it's, like...
It's so I picked this up, right? You know this, right, but now I'm telling people. I love coloring. I've always liked coloring. It soothes me. It tones me down. This is my way of unwinding. You read, I color.
Right.
And so you got me the Hush coloring book.
Yes.
My God. There's so much going on in there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, geez, like the colorists that do this type of stuff, and every little like buildings or shadows or you know, hair and people's jackets and gloves and if the sky, like everything. It's so...
Can I be honest? I don't think the professional colorists put as much work into the detail as you do. I think you are so
detailed. That's a very bold statement there.
No, I'm serious. You are so detailed because you're doing it by hand, each color with a pencil crayon or a crayon. No, pencil crayon. You're not five. Even though you're doing a coloring book, you use pencil crayon. I would imagine that their coloring style would have to do with computer and inks and all of these... you know, blending in of programs and all this stuff that makes it quicker for them.
It's digitized, you mean? It
has to be. Mm-hmm. Whereas you're doing each window and window pane and...
Gargoyle.
Everything you're doing by hand, and you're shading it.
Yeah, like I don't want yourself. Just my sky to be just...
It's not just black.
No.
No, you're like, really like putting in effort.
Purples and like trying to like do like a... Like
then you a, blend a little brown in the corner where like the moon isn't getting to, so it's going to be a little darker. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you're putting in a lot harder work. And that's why you're like, Jesus, this is tedious. But if I showed you Brian Hitch art, who's going to be the writer, not the artist for Justice League, you'd be like, oh my goodness. Because his style is very... blockbuster cinematic style of art. Mm-hmm. He did a book called The Ultimates, which is a modern day retelling of the Avengers story. Do you remember the Avengers cartoon that we've watched together?
The Avengers cartoon.
It's the very few cartoons that we have from the Marvel, and it's like it's the Hulk destroying all of Manhattan. Do you remember that one? We've seen it a couple times.
No, anyways. I don't remember.
It's very similar to the Avengers movie. A lot of stuff from the Avengers movie kind of mimics that story, but it's like destruction everywhere and fire trucks and the city running, like millions of people running. And when you look at that in black and white and would have to color it, your mind would be blown.
That's insane.
Because I was going to get you the Age of Ultron. I'm like, there's no way. She will never, never finish this page. So he's going to be writing it, which will be interesting because I don't know that much. I've liked what he's done with the Justice League currently that he's writing, the miniseries, but mm-hmm. I don't know on like a regularly monthly or bi-monthly title what he's got in store, so we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I want to read the Justice League, I think, because I really like their interaction with each other. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly follow certain characters and their stories, but I do like seeing them...
On the team.
Yeah, together, fight with each other, disagree with each other, right. Game plan with each other.
Right.
You know... reasoning with each other, where like if Batman and Superman are butting heads and then Diana comes in and like, Bruce, but you gotta listen to him, kind of thing.
Right.
Green Lantern or the Flash making his quirky mm-hmm. you know, one-liners to kind of put a little bit of funny in it.
Mm-hmm.
I I like that.
So you'll read any book or any characters as long as Batman's intermingling with them.
Absolutely.
But you'll branch out to read stuff that have the Flash and Green Lantern and stuff in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. So with that in mind, one of the things I'm looking forward to is the book Trinity. Not the one that we just reviewed. This is going to be an ongoing title that features Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Oh, no way.
Drawn by Francis Manapul. Do you remember Francis Manapul? Does his name ring a bell?
It sounds like the Pope.
He drew that picture we've got of the Flash and Superman on our wall.
Oh, no way.
And remember we met him?
Yeah.
And he did a quick sketch of the Flash in my book?
Yeah.
He's going to be drawing it. This is his...
He's a nice guy.
He's a very nice guy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He has a great art style. It's all like ink wash and like almost like a painted style.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
Water.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that piqued my interest immediately because there's usually a Superman Batman book and there's been a Superman Wonder Woman book, but now they're just gonna put them all in one.
That's cool. I would read that.
Yeah,
I would read that.
I think you're gonna like that. And hopefully, he's also an artist turned writer, and I don't know so much about, like, I don't know if his writing skills are up to par with his artistry skills mm-hmm. yet. So him tackling these, like the big three, is going to be a real test to see what he does here.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that. Anything else that you got?
Well, one of the things that they mentioned at the WonderCon was that they're going to reveal the identity of the Joker.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
I think I prefer not knowing. I think myself. I don't know. Do you want to give your guesses of who it might be now, or do you want to wait till later as we get into the...
It'd be nice to talk about it, to see who we think it would be, because then we can... It's like a prediction, and then we can see if we got it right, or okay. Very, very wrong.
My prediction is that it is... Now, I have no sources, so if I happen to be right, it's not because I've cheated, and I should be rewarded. If my guess is, it would have to be somebody whose relationship to Batman or the Batman family would make everybody shocked and be like, oh my goodness.
How soon are they going to reveal it, though?
It's going to be in Justice League issue 50, so they're 2 issues away.
Okay.
So I was trying to think back. It would make sense maybe if it was Joe Chill. I don't know what's happened to Joe Chill in the current Batman universe, post-Flashpoint, if he's still alive. Because that would kind of harken back to the Jack Napier being the killer of his parents, and then mm-hmm. he turns out to be the Joker.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
that would kind of... But then I'm like, that's too obvious. That wouldn't be... Everyone would be like, oh, that's so lame. He just took that from a movie. No surprise there. So my guess is that it is a... Now I'm going to curse, but not curse. I'm going to say it's a bastard son of Alfred Pennyworth. He is a son of Alfred Pennyworth.
What?
Yes, that's what I'm going to say. And that it's a member of Batman's family who has become his worst enemy. And also a thorn in Alfred's side. Because now he would realize that his son, that he thought maybe he never had or that was possibly taken from him, is his other figurative son's greatest enemy. So it puts him at odds. And I'm thinking that would make everybody go, oh crap, that's crazy. And I'm just thinking of shock factor and relationship factor. What would make a good story?
Wow.
And he's had a lot.
You've really thought about that.
He's had a lot to do with Alfred in the Scott Snyder Batman. He's actually chopped off his hand, almost killed him. And he's been in deep with the Bat family to the point where he may even know who Bruce Wayne or Batman actually is Bruce Wayne. So, because you know what I was thinking? What made me think that was, remember the Black Mirror story that you read about Dick Grayson being Batman, and it was James Gordon Jr. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. was the villain.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, whoa, that's a callback to Batman Year One when he saved the little baby.
It's like, and whatever happened to him.
Whatever happened to him. Turned out he's a psychopath, sociopath, willing to kill his own sister. So I'm trying to think what would be something that would be connected to the Batman family to make it worth.
That's while. Intense, bud.
What do you think?
I like it.
I saw your facial reaction and I was describing it. You're like, oh, that would be good. Without you saying a word, it looked like you were really into that idea. So that's my guess. I don't know.
That's intense.
Who do you think it could be?
I have no idea.
Yeah, like, I don't want it to be, I don't know. I don't want it to be like a Robin or something. Like, what if it was Alfred from the future come back in time?
That's crazy.
Right? Kind of like a Flash type of scenario where Eobard Thawne is from the future and he's come back to be the Flash's enemy. Like, what if it's Alfred in the future come back to torture Batman because of all the torture Batman put Alfred through being his butler or something? I don't know. So I thought it would be his son. Let us know what you guys think. Send us an email, kvsolitude@outlook.com, or put it on the message board and say who you think the Joker could be, or if you even want the Joker to be revealed, because personally, I don't really care if he is revealed.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that it's one of those classic, iconic characters that are just left untouched.
Yeah.
And although at first, I have to admit, when they first said it, I was like, oh my goodness, they're gonna say it. But then it's like, the more it sat with me, I was just like, I don't know. You're like, don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix.
Yeah, right?
So,
because it could be done, so if it's not done right.
It's a real risk that it can go downhill. And at the end of they're gonna do it.
Right.
Unless they say they're gonna reveal him, and then they do, and then it turns out that it's not his real identity. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's just to play with the audience's expectations,
like,
a little.
I have a feeling like it's gonna be one of those things that it's definitely not gonna make everybody happy. Because it's going to be like, oh, really? And then there's going to be those other people, maybe like me, who are like, hey, that's awesome. Cool. So I don't know. It's one of those things. If it's left untouched, everyone stays happy.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So another cool thing that's happening with DC Rebirth is that they're bringing back the pre-Flashpoint Superman. Meaning, you kind of looked around the room and you're like, what does that mean? So, do you remember the movie Flashpoint, where the Flash travels through time and then...
Where Alex Karev is...
No. Yes, you're right, but we're not talking about Grey's Anatomy.
No, but I'm trying to figure out what movie we're talking about.
Yes. Where Chambers is the voice of the Flash. Yes, it's correct. So, do you remember how... it creates an alternate timeline that Flash has to correct because he's traveled back in time to save his mother, and because of that,
the timeline changes.
Right.
And Thomas Wayne is Batman.
Exactly.
Who is actually Owen Hunt, who does the voice.
Sure.
Another character from Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. So you remember that movie well, obviously, since you know all the voices in it. So that event was what started New 52. That was the event that kind of changed the DC universe. And when the Flash came back in time, everything was new. Mm-hmm. What you had known about those characters had now changed. He did correct it, but what he had corrected also changed the timeline and people's histories in that process. Mm-hmm. So now, because they are doing this rebirth thing, there was a storyline that kind of... It's very convoluted, naturally, but they're going to bring back the pre-Flashpoint Superman, meaning the guy who was married to Lois Lane before the New 52, he's going to now be the Superman again. He's coming back to the regular DC universe because he had been kind of erased from history.
What?
Yes.
I...
Because the Superman that you've been reading that's been dating Wonder Woman and is younger than Batman.
Yeah.
So he's never been with Lois Lane. That never happened in the New 52.
Right.
But now, my guess is, the one who's been with Wonder Woman he's going to be killed during the rebirth event, and the original Superman that you've read from, you know, the Batman, the one that you knew, he's going to be Superman again, the one that was married to Lois, and they have a son now.
They have a son?
They do. It's actually really, really good storyline. I'd like you to read that at some point in time. You'd enjoy it.
I don't like superheroes having offspring. It really throws me.
Why?
I don't like it.
I like the fact that it continues their legacy, though. That's kind of what's cool about DC, right? You don't like
Damian? They are the legacy.
But you don't like Damian Wayne?
No.
Really?
I did not like Damian. He was a punk.
But that's what makes him interesting, is that you have conflicting feelings about him. He's as good as Batman, almost. And you know that he'll one day surpass the guy because of his training, but he's got so much to learn because of his attitude. He's got this thing of entitlement to him.
But it also makes... You know what I think it is? To me, it almost makes it like... again, they're fictitious characters, mm-hmm. but there is some type of immorality to these characters. And when you give them a family, when you give them a child, when you give them that type of responsibility, it almost limits them.
It handcuffs them.
Yeah.
That's what's good about it, though.
But then I'm like, well... What, and like, now you're telling me that this superhero is a father, which right. If he's a father, it means he's aging. If he's aging, he's closer to death. Like, he's going to come to an end. That's what I don't like about it. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying, but the good thing about it is it's comic books, and they'll do an event to change the timeline. But it's kind of cool to think, like, you know what? Let these guys age. They've been around for this long. Let's see them age and have Batman Beyond occur. Mm-mm. And you don't want to see Batman die.
No.
That's it. He's got to be 33 forever.
I like when someone else takes on the mantle and has to don the mask because, you know, Batman's back is broken or because he's missing in the timeline. Like, there's a reason why someone else is the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But Bruce is forever the legend.
Okay.
But when, you know, there's... You know, like, when they're also the family man, it kind of puts a dent in that, the fantasy of their...
I guess,
of their power and ability, to me. But I know what you mean. It kind of humanizes them a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool to see Superman progress. Like, he can't just always be not with somebody. He can't always
He was with Lois.
Right, he was with Lois, but to see them now have a family...
Yeah, but it's almost like just following the trend of society. Like, what do? You grow up, you go to school, you get married, you have a family. And then you have to go to the suburbs. And then you have to get the minivan. You can't have the... Like, you know what I mean? It's almost like you're...
Superman with the minivan.
But see, isn't it sound ridiculous?
But that's what's interesting.
But doesn't it sound ridiculous?
But that's why I want to see it. I want to see it because it's like, now he's got to bring his kid to school. How is a kid who's going to have... It's like... That's why I tell you should read Invincible. Read Invincible and you'll see how cool it could be.
The Superman, like, telling that story in, like, in a different timeline, fine. But to make him the actual Superman,
I don't like it.
Okay. Me, I don't like it.
Would you give it a chance?
No.
You won't even give it a chance to see how it goes?
No.
Why?
Because
you've already given Batman and Damian a chance.
Yeah, I didn't like him the whole time I was reading about Damian and his... mouthing back to Bruce, and I'm gonna take over your...
So you want...
You won't be here forever, but I'm... Like, you know what
so
I
Damian
mean?
So Damian should just get killed.
Well, they did kill him.
They brought him back.
That's stupid.
But it's a great story to see Batman go find his son. It's really good.
It is, because I guess in this aspect, though, it's great because you get to explore different feelings and emotions that this person will now have for their... son or their wife.
Yeah,
like, they'll do anything for them, but that's not something that we haven't seen before either. Like, Superman's lost it when he thought Lois had died, or
yes,
you know what I mean? Like, we know that he'll react that way.
I just think what's cool about it is you're now opening a chapter to these characters that has never been explored before, that people have always avoided. And it's like, well, what if he did have a family?
But a what if story is good. Sure. I just don't want that to be the pinnacle of
the main,
because
the main,
like I said, if he has a son, it means he's getting older, which means Alfred is getting older, which means they're gonna kick the bucket soon, and it just makes this who you know, it gives them a limit to how much they can give you. And it kind of makes me a little sad.
Aw, don't worry, they'll fix it. They'll always come back. But see, that I think that's the interesting thing about what they're not doing in comics is allowing these characters to age, allowing them to progress, allowing them to reach new chapters of their life, as opposed to always like, oh, no, they can't get old. Let's kill them naturally. Let's kill Aunt May. Why is she still alive? Right? What happens to Batman if Alfred goes? There's lots of stories with Alfred in it. Yeah, but if that was their attitude
all the time, then we wouldn't have stories about them today, right? They would have killed them 50 years ago, 30 years ago.
But so let's tell those stories today. And we got 75 years of Alfred in the comics that you could read and just think, oh, he's still got a lot of life to live at this point. But I get what you're saying.
It's just, you know what it is? It's a change that's hard to swallow. But it would be interesting. Because like I said, it would explore different emotions and avenues of this character, and they would develop in ways that we've never seen before. But
characters so
I'm very
old school.
Very old. Like, I stick to what I know. I like what I like, and I don't like changes. But that's me.
You don't want kids, and you don't want your superheroes to have kids, because that'll age them. Got it. All right. Anything else from Rebirth you want to talk about? There's so many announcements that they made.
Was a lot. There was one that I was kind of interested in, and I was a little confused about it, but something about Batgirl.
Okay, yeah.
And I guess someone is impersonating Batgirl. And so, or Oracle.
I think you're referring to the Batgirl and the Birds of Prey.
Yeah, I've never been into this Birds of Prey business.
I think you'd like it.
But from what they explained at the WonderCon, it piqued my interest a little bit.
Yes, it did sound interesting. And basically,
Barbara Gordon was really pissed that someone was pretending to be her or something. And so now she's on this...
It's a little confusing because they've erased Oracle from the continuity. Like, originally they had written it as she had been shot, she had been Oracle, but she recovered. She had some surgery that recovered her and she became Batgirl again. That's how they started the New 52. And everyone was kind of like, we like Oracle. Yeah. And she represents a demographic of people who were not represented before, a person with a disability who is extremely useful. Like, she allows all of the characters in Gotham to operate, and she saves their lives by exchanging that information that they need. Mm-hmm. So she was such an interesting, unique character that Batgirl being back has lent itself to some good stories from what I've heard. I haven't read them myself, but I think a lot of people have been missing Oracle.
Yeah.
So the Birds of Prey originally was Oracle, and she had Huntress and the Black Canary as her team, as her squad, and she'd send them out on missions. And the original Birds of Prey story, I've actually considered getting for you because I think you would like it if you do like the character of Oracle and the extended Bat family.
See, but I like Oracle with Batman.
You like everybody with Batman, as long as he doesn't have anybody in his life.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's not something I would gravitate to naturally, but the way they explained it, it sounded interesting to me, and I thought maybe that would be one that I'd want to get into.
Yeah, I'd give it a shot. There's lots of books coming out from this Rebirth launch that have piqued my interest, stuff that I didn't think I'd be interested in reading, that I'm suddenly like, ooh, look at that writer-artist team, or look at that new take on it, or this character's coming back, I'm excited. I don't know which ones to get, which ones not to get. The list is pretty long right now. I'm about halfway of all, half of what they announced. I want to try to give them all a chance, and hopefully they're all good, but then at the same time, I hope that some aren't so good, so I don't feel forced to keep reading them if they're all like top-notch quality. It sounds stupid to say that, but you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you want to be like, okay, I don't need to read that. That's good.
So out of all of these, which one is your top one that you're excited about?
Top one I'm excited about.
Like, which is the one that you're going to go get first?
I think the one I'm most excited for at this point in time is Wonder Woman from Greg Rucka, just because the artist and the writer, especially. I've become more of a follower of writer and artists. as opposed to sticking to just the character. Because mm-hmm. I used to be that way. I'm like, well, I'll read anything Superman. And I ended up reading a lot of stupid stories. And sometimes you can get into that habit of just reading garbage because it's a character. And I'd rather follow quality writers because it helps me to try out a new character.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So that one's the one. That and maybe Nightwing. I'm excited for those.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, having the original Superman come back is going to be interesting. But how about for you?
I want to do the Wonder Woman. When you told me about the Trinity, this new line of Trinity,
yeah, that
I'm really excited about now. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with the Joker identity reveal.
Uh-huh.
I felt because
that's going to be in the Justice League books, by the way.
Right. You said that. I don't know. I don't know. I think the closest we've ever been, I guess, knowing his identity was in The Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you saw him as a family man. He had a profession that he was struggling in. There was something intriguing about him, but kind of like
ambiguous. Like, yeah, you didn't really know.
You didn't really, and that's what kind of pulls you, gravitate to his character because you want to know,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little bit on the fence about whether I'm going to stick to figuring that out. I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the Trinity one is what I'm excited about.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to look fantastic for sure. Good news for you is your Batman is going to be in good hands. The guy who's taking over the regular Batman title, Tom King, he's on fire right now. With all the books that he's writing, he's getting critical acclaim. And he's been co-writing with the guy who's doing Nightwing, Tim Seeley. They did a book called Grayson, where he becomes a secret spy on a mission from Batman. And Tom King is now going to be doing the regular Batman book with a great artist named David Finch. We met him as well at Niagara Falls Comic Con. You met him. And so that everyone is talking about how good that book is supposedly going to be. So we'll see. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy your Batman just like you always do. Anything else you want to talk about from Rebirth? There's lots of stuff online if anybody's listening and they want to get all the details of the creative teams. We just brushed a couple that we're interested in reading ourselves. But we'll move on from here. And let's talk a little bit about some movie news. There's been not a review, but some comments from people who have screened Captain America: Civil War already.
Really?
Yes.
When did that happen?
I didn't give a date, but there are some people who have pre-screened the movie.
How does that happen? I was watching a Big Bang Theory episode.
Yes.
Where Leonard and Wolowitz are walking by because they were going to the hardware store to pick up something. And then some guy's like, hey, do you guys want a free pre-screening of a special movie? And they're like, what? And they're like, we don't know. And he's like, well, Will Smith is in it. And they're like, Suicide Squad? He's like, I can't say. And then they're like, okay, let's give it a chance. Maybe it's Shark Tale 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
But does that kind of stuff really happen? Where they just, like, people are walking by and they're like, hey, do you want tickets from this thing? Like, does that really happen? Because we need to do this.
First, I don't know if that actually happens, but I know that they do that for critics. To get a sense of what the response is going to be from the movie. And to kind of proceed from there. Because I know in the past, they've allowed critics to see the first cut of a movie. And the critics will be like, you know what, it's too long. There's a lot of this, it's unnecessary. So from their response, they'll be like, okay, let's trim this, let's get rid of that, throw this in, because they're saying that's what's missing, and then they'll release it again. That has happened. But
so why didn't these critics, when they saw BVS the first time, say something about, because then it's these same critics that gave it a Rotten Tomato.
I think there may have been a request for them not to release their views on the movie until the very last minute, if I'm not mistaken.
But then why have them check it out?
Initially, they said that people's first screenings of BVS were so positive, and they were so happy with it. And then when, I don't know. That's a great question. But as far as Civil War is concerned, I won't tell you. There isn't no scores yet.
Okay.
For the reviews.
Okay.
So it's just Twitter comments, and what they are saying is that the portrayal of Spider-Man in the movie is done very well. It's the best portrayal of Spider-Man thus far. And he's in more of the movie than people had imagined or what the trailers lead you to believe.
Okay.
And they also say that the fight that you see about to happen in the preview at that airport hangar, what looks like the airport hangar, people have said it's the greatest superhero battle thus far on screen.
Okay.
So...
it sounds hopeful.
It sounds very hopeful. It's very unexpected and very good from what has come out so far from it. And that's no spoilers, just that there's a positive vibe coming from this movie.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Were you concerned about the Civil War possibility of it being Batman v Superman? Because it is, the one thing that is said here is that it's thematically similar as far as what is charging the characters.
No, I wasn't worried.
Okay.
From the beginning, I thought it was...
You're ready to
the
go.
The amount, the perfect amount of, here's a little taste.
Right.
Perfect amount of, okay, I know what this is about. A, I've read the comic book. We know it was kind of going in that direction because you had these two characters butting heads. But it was a perfect dose or introduction to what you thought was going to happen. And it wasn't, the trailers were great and it got you emotionally.
And they involved. Progressively showed you just a little bit more each trailer and be like, oh, that's there too? Do you know what I mean? Whereas it was brought out in certain other reviews where, in the case of BVS, like, all the good stuff you saw in the trailer was all the good stuff in the movie.
Right.
And in this case, you just feel like there's so much more that you're not showing you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm stoked for this movie. I'm happy that the... initial responses to it are that Spider-Man is being done correctly. So, that's good. Now, you mentioned Suicide Squad just now. Yeah, you mentioned the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
So, on the topic of Suicide Squad, I posted on our Instagram page that they're going back to reshoot scenes from the Suicide Squad and spending upwards of tens of millions of dollars to do this in order to make it more fun.
That's never a good sign.
What are your thoughts on that? The possibility of them now... Well, not the possibility. They're going back to do it. Does that make you... Does it smell like course correction from Warner Brothers on Warner Brothers' part because of some of the BVS responses and reviews?
I don't know. I just think the fact that they're going back to fix it, that can't be a good thing. But at the same time, if they recognize that there's... an opportunity to correct what they've missed, then I'm glad they're taking action and doing it.
You never seen the latest trailer, right, of Suicide Squad?
No.
You're not a big, like, I need to see the trailer right now.
No, because I don't want to fall into that, you know, seeing the movie before I actually see the movie.
Right.
And I think sometimes, as you know, trailers, they're there to whet your your appetite.
Seeing you prepare to say, what?
I mean, that's what they're meant to do,
right?
They're meant to draw audiences in. I think sometimes, though, like, for example, with BVS or other movies, where they just give too much, and I don't want to do that. I want to be surprised. I want to go in not knowing. So I haven't looked into more stuff on Suicide Squad.
The preview that they did show, that I haven't shown you yet, it's really fun. They have the Bohemian Rhapsody song from Queen playing as it goes on, and it's kind of, I don't want to compare it, but it's unfortunate I have to. It's very similar to Guardians of the Galaxy with the Uka Shaka type of thing. So it's a fun preview, and the music combined with the action is very engaging. You're like, this looks like it's a blast, right? But according to news, is that the fun parts you see within that trailer is all the fun parts that there are in the movie. Now, when people say that term, like, fun, right? I want it to be more fun. I want it to be more funny. When you hear that, like in the case of BVS, for instance, do you want these movies to have more fun? Like, what does it mean to you for it to be more fun? to be funnier, to have some levity, like some lightheartedness, the way maybe a Iron Man has at times, or the Marvel Universe is very good at.
I don't know. I think it would be very, like, I don't think I'd be mad that if it lacked that type of funny or fun aspect, because at the end of the day, this is the perspective of criminals.
Right.
And so their understanding of fun, I guess, is what they do. They break the law. They kill people. They don't care who they hurt. That's their fun. For the audience, it should be disturbing. It should be unnatural.
Okay.
So I don't think that that aspect of fun can naturally be introduced when you're dealing with this type of these types of characters.
Yeah.
So I'm not really expecting a ha ha ha, that's so hilarious. Like, perhaps some sarcasm or dry sense of humor, perhaps, right. Yes. But not something like, you know, slapstick or
a forced joke.
No, it's more like for example, and we talked about this, but in Batman The Dark Knight, it was freaky and disturbing, but right. When the Joker's like, you want to see a magic trick?
Yes.
Boom. Pencil's gone.
It's disturbing,
like that's not something you LOL. Yeah. But that's like, oh, dang. Like, yeah. That's like, oh, that's his sense of humor. Yeah. And that brings out the character and who you're dealing with.
Right.
So for them to feel like, or for them to say that there needs to be a comical or a hilarious thing, I don't know. I think it's hard to do that depending on who you're dealing with.
Yeah. I think what comes to my mind is like moments in Man from U.N.C.L.E. that we just saw, where there's a chase going on, there's something somewhat serious happening, but the way that they behave within those scenes isn't as intense or as serious as, let's say, James Bond would be, where it's like just a constant scowl on his face,
right.
Where the music that's being played kind of gets you to laugh when you see Henry Cavill, you know, that scene where he's sitting in the truck and realizes that, oh, there's a bottle of wine and a sandwich beside me. He sees the other agent being chased around. It's not necessarily comical in the sense of here's forced comedy, but the way it's played, there's a moment of like, we could kind of laugh for a second.
Right.
So
a moment of relief?
Yeah, like that little bit of levity where it's not like everything is so, it's either this or death, or even in like Star Wars. And some people might say, you know, that's just too much, where Finn confronts Phasma and he's like, who's in charge now? Who's in charge? I'm in charge. Some people are like, that's just forcing the joke. Do you agree with that comparison of this works, but that's too much?
Yeah.
Where it takes you out of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because people always say, oh, you 5-year-olds, you just want your stupid Marvel movies and you just want jokes and dance-offs and all this dumb stuff to keep you happy. You can't handle a serious take on these characters. But I just want, from your perspective, do you prefer that hardcore, serious, no moment of laughter or levity? Or do you prefer that Captain America style where, yeah, we're on the run?
I think it all depends on the story and who's in it. Because I think there's only so much you can do with certain characters. If they're not the type of person where they lack that sense of humor, they lack that, if that's not who they are, it's going to be forced. And it won't come out clean.
It won't be organic.
No, yeah. Not at all.
I hope that they're reshooting now. It's one of those things where the movie's done so successful and people obviously like it enough that if that's what your vision, kind of stick to it. And just be sure of yourself. Whereas if you reshoot it, it kind of smells of worry.
Like, I'm imagining, like, let's say a car scene or a car chase scenario. And let's say it's, I don't know, let's say Batman and Superman are in it. If they're kind of disagreeing, they would probably have, like Batman or Bruce would probably say, let me work. Okay? Let's say, though, in the Suicide Squad, it's Harley Quinn and Will Smith's character there, and they're going to be going at each other, and again, same scenario, car chase. I can see Harley Quinn pulling a gun and saying, get out of my face, because I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And then, and him either backing down or retaliating and taking out a weapon of his own. That's because of the characters that they are. Mm-hmm. That's their comedy. Like, I'm not saying it's fun to just pull guns in people's faces, but there's only so much you can do in certain scenarios with certain people. And that's how you can only approach certain things a certain way.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I totally get what you're saying, but it's one of those hard nuts to crack. You know, when you're looking at, does it will it being more fun translate to it being better? What do they mean by that? Are they bringing comedians to write jokes?
Like I said, Bruce, by saying, let me work, like when he's sarcastic in comic books, like he doesn't like being, you know, Batman flying him, but he'll say what he has to, and it's kind of like, oh, that's very Batman, and you put a smile on your face because you're like, oh, that's the character. It's not a ha-ha moment, but it's like, oh, that's who he is.
Yeah, I think a perfect example was when we were watching together one of the DC animated films where Green Lantern goes to pick, like, to get Batman's attention, like, hey, you're being called, we need you, and Batman blows him off. And Green Lantern's character's like, man, I hate that guy.
Yeah.
And it's done in a way where you can smile and have a little bit of relief, but it's not uncharacteristic.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So hopefully they get those, but it seems so far with their live action movies, it's almost like intense. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to go back and fix. I don't know what it is that they're trying to aim for. Mm-hmm. But let's see.
So, moving on. We recently rewatched one of the biggest films of 2015 in the Star Wars Force Awakens.
Yeah, it's released on DVD, Blu-ray.
We've touched on it a little bit throughout the episode, so I guess it's obvious that we've been watching it. Having watched it again now at home, being able to sit and rewind and put subtitles on spots where you weren't sure what was being said, do you enjoy it as much as you did when you initially watched it? Do you enjoy it more? Do you enjoy it less?
I still enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But having watched it this time, it's a very sad movie. It makes me feel sad. In the theaters, it was like very nostalgic. It was like, oh, there's the Millennium Falcon. Oh, there's R2-D2. Oh, there, you know what I mean? But now when I saw it this morning, I was like, oh, my heart's breaking. I don't want to see this anymore. Right. Why? From the beginning.
How come?
It seems like such a sad, lonely story. Really? Yeah. It's, everyone's alone. Everyone is, you know, people, things aren't functioning. There's been a disperse or a falling apart of families. There's so much death. No, I feel bad for the villagers in the beginning.
Right. Yes.
And you know, BB-8, where he's kind of on this mission on his own.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, R2-D2.
Everyone feels like they're separated from somebody and trying to find themselves.
Yeah, everyone's on this thing, and it's just a very sad situation.
You make it sound like the saddest movie, like Schindler's List or something, and it's not.
No, but I
get what you're saying.
It's fun, but it's not what I remember it being in the theater. Like, this time I watched it a little bit with a heavier heart.
You felt more compassion for everybody, I guess.
Everyone. Like, I said to myself, like, with Rey, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, her life is working to see if she can get a piece of bread at night. Like, that, right. That was her purpose in life, just to get up and go. And, like, we have that same thing. We get up, we go to work, whatever. But, like, at least there's companionship and there's, you know, there's moments of laughter throughout the day, and there's, I don't know, she didn't have anyone.
Yeah.
There was no,
she was alone completely.
There was absolutely no interaction with anyone except with people that either despised her or didn't care about her. It was just a very sad situation.
It was. You're right. It was a sad existence that she had.
Yeah. And
even Finn being, like, that you realize that these stormtroopers are raised either from children to be kind of brainwashed to be ready to kill.
Yeah.
To be on command. But that's kind of, I think, where the movie comes together, is seeing all of these people.
Well, they find each other.
Find each other, yeah.
And they become each other's, I guess, family.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it was, I don't know, it was a great, it's a great movie. I'm not trying to take away from it or put a damper on it. But this time that I saw it, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch it because I don't want to feel sad. You know what I mean?
BB-8 with the thumbs up.
That's the best part of the movie. That is the one and only best part of the movie.
That's the one and only. That's it. It's the only good part. It's a great movie, but the only best part is BB-8 giving the flame thumbs up. You know, I enjoyed it a lot again watching it. This is the third time I've seen it, and it holds up for me. I hear some people criticizing it more now of like, oh, it's just the New Hope all over again. Wasn't it done fine the first time? And that's true, but I think it was done in a way to make you feel nostalgic, but introduced a lot of new characters, and they used the older characters to kind of show them, like, here's your new generation.
Yeah, they meshed them. They meshed them well. Yeah.
I think my only hang-up still is when they come back after Han has died, and Chewie gets off of the Millennium Falcon, and he doesn't even, like, look at Leia and give her, like, a... He's gone.
Yeah, but Leia didn't look at him either.
Why? I want to know. I want an explanation for that.
Well, okay, at first, I'm going to just say it. I never thought that they had something against each other. It became this thing where, oh, there's a tizzy between Leia and Chewie. And I'm like, what are you talking about? When she came out of the ship at Maz's...
They did hug, yes.
They hugged. Yeah. If anything, Chewie went to her and embraced her before... Yeah. Han Solo did.
Yeah.
And it was an unspoken moment that they had together. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't think that there was anything between them, but apparently everyone is up in arms about how Leia brushed Chewbacca and hugged Rey instead when Han Solo died.
I think Rey is still their daughter. Rey and Ren just sounds like they're twins or something.
I think they should be. I'd be really disappointed if everyone's saying that she's probably Luke Skywalker's kid.
Nah.
I don't think that's right. But we'll see. And you know what? In regards to that gripe that you have with Chewie and Leia.
Okay.
J.J. Abrams said that it was one of the mistakes that he actually did make in the movie in having that play out the way it did.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a quote. He said, my thinking at the time was that Chewbacca, despite the pain he was feeling, was focused on trying to save Finn and getting him taken care of. So I tried to have Chewbacca go off with him and focus on Rey, and then have Rey find Leia and Leia find Rey. The idea being that both of them, being strong with the Force and never having met, would know about each other. That Leia would have been told about her beyond what we saw on screen, and Rey, of course, would have learned about Leia. And that reunion would be a meeting and a reunion all in one, and a sort of commiseration of their mutual loss.
So he commented on it.
He did.
And where'd you pull that out of?
Then he goes on to say, had Chewbacca not been where he was, he says, you probably wouldn't have thought of it. But because he was right there, passed by Leia, it felt almost like a slight, which was not his intention. So,
I accept your apology, J.J. Abrams.
He acknowledges and apologizes for the outburst and...
Daph J.
What happened?
You just pulled that out of midair, out of like, where did that come from? We just talked about it and you're like the news. Well done.
Well, yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna just, you know what, next episode I'm gonna throw all things at you. And I wanna see how many you can come up with. Okay. I'm just wondering why Zack Snyder thought that it'd be a good I'm just kidding. I'm sure that explanation is there and I don't wanna hear it. Anyways, this has been fun. This has been a fun conversation. We didn't delve into anything specific this episode, but I really enjoyed the fact that we had a chance to discuss a variety of different news topics, give our take on some of the stuff that's coming out. And I'm happy that you are looking forward to some of the Rebirth, DC Rebirth issues that are coming. Will you want to come with me one Wednesday or one day when it launches and see some books that you might want to pick up yourself? Will this be an opportunity for you to now pick up some issues starting fresh, as opposed to having me here read this,
I want to say I'd like to. I just don't trust myself, because I'm kind of, but I guess that's how every comic book fan starts out, right? You kind of pick a couple of bad ones, and you're like,
eh. Well, you know what? I think you've got a pretty good, I think the things that you say that you like or that you want to try out, you so far, I haven't seen you pick even television shows. I haven't seen you pick anything that has turned out to be a dud. Unless you know right away, like, this is supposed to be stupid, I'm going to watch it anyways.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But you've got a pretty good sense of, like, this sounds like it's going to be good. So maybe I'll get you to pick which ones I should try out.
Oh, no.
You're going to be like, okay, try them all out and tell me which ones you like. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. This is Eric Anthony and Daff J. If you want to hit us up, send us an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Visit us at caveofsolitude.com. And we thank everybody who's been leaving reviews for us on iTunes. We really appreciate it and helps get the show out there to be noticed. Our latest review that we've received is from DJ Jangs. He says, it's a cool podcast. I really like the ideas and opinions. Good hosting and good back and forth banter. Want to start listening to the back episodes? I'm sorry about Batman v Superman. That one seemed to hurt. Keep it up. Yeah, we're not gonna get into that again, but it did hurt, but it's okay. Thank you, DJ Jangs, for your review, and thank you everybody for listening. Until next time, this is Eric Anthony.
Daffy J.
See you later, everybody.